Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. I have said many times in the past that I was not the one in charge of the lectionary, or it would be different. And today, our second lesson from Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus, I would love to break up into about four different sections, because you can pull about four different sermons out of this letter. There's a lot packed into these 16 verses of Scripture. A whole lot, as a matter of fact. It almost seems like he's bouncing around here. I think Paul got really excited. Every once in a while he does that. He gets really excited when he's writing, and he moves on through a lot of topics. Sometimes they're huge run-on sentences, but today he seems excited about talking about doctrine and unity. And those are two very important things. So I don't know why the bulk of all of us in this room today are Episcopalian. I think we could probably have a poll and we'd have 30 different reasons for why it is that we come to an Episcopal church. For me, it was because it was someplace that I truly found God. And I found that thin place, that spiritual place where I could really connect with the divine. And that meant a lot to me whenever I first came to the church. I liked very much the historicity of the church. The fact that, you know, what the church teaches is not dependent upon whoever it is that's preaching that day, okay? We have something very important. We have the Nicene Creed. And there's a reason, and I think I've shared this with you before, but literally, if you look in the liturgical text, why is the Nicene Creed always after the sermon? It's in case the preacher preached heresy, they would correct it. That's literally, that's why it's there. It's to correct it. And I like that. I like that there is an emphasis on actually striving for that which is right or correct, right thinking. It's not that we're ever going to be perfect, but that's the goal. That we want to be as correct as possible, as true to as possible to the reality of the divine and creation. It's very important. We also have this topic here in Paul's letter, not just about doctrine, but about unity. And unity in the church is something we really should strive for. Even John Calvin, when he was writing, he said that unity, insofar it is possible, should always be a part of the Christian faith. We should always be together as much as possible. Of course, that was said by somebody who burned a lot of people at the stake for being heretics. So, I mean, you can parse that only so far. But Christianity has been filled with people who want to be right so much that they can't stand other people arguing with them. That's been a hallmark of the Christian faith. And that's unfortunate. Because stemming back from Jesus in the early apostolic age, this emphasis on unity, okay? We've tried too much the concept of union in the church. There's a difference between union and unity, okay? You can tie two cats' tails together, okay? That's union, but it ain't unity, okay? Unity is something different. Unity is being able to sit down and break bread together and say, perhaps there might be differences. We might parse out these little things, but there's something bigger and more important in the picture. In the church, we have this, because we have to have 50-cent like theological terms. There's one called adiaphora. Do you know what adiaphora means? Okay, it's basically a fancy word that means it doesn't matter. Okay, it's a fancy word that means it doesn't matter. In the Episcopal Church, we like to throw it around an awful lot, because for us, The main goal is the reality of the creation and who God is and our salvation. Anything else from that, adiaphora, it doesn't matter, okay? So, Jesus' atoning sacrifice on the cross, very important, okay? We need to focus on that. We need to study that. We need to learn that. We need to learn about the incarnation. We need to reflect on who that is and what that is and how that means, what that means for us. If you lose something and you pray to Saint Anthony, does that affect your salvation? No, it's adiaphora, okay? If you if you think that sprinkling holy water through your house is somehow going to help you live a more godly and Christian life, does that affect your salvation? No, go for it. Yeah, we can do that. I really enjoy that, as a matter of fact. If you ever ask me around the first of the year, I'll go and I'll sling holy water all over every square inch of your house. It is great fun. But it's adiaphora. It doesn't affect our salvation. It does not affect our salvation. Another reason I am in the Episcopal Church is because we say those things that affect our salvation are infinitely important. Those things that don't, not a real big deal. We'll let it slide. Some people misinterpret that. Some people interpret that as being, well, in the Episcopal Church, you can believe anything you want. Well, you can, but that doesn't really make you an Episcopalian, okay? What's important is those things that affect our salvation. What's not is all those little other things that we do. Okay, our salvation is not dependent on whether or not there are two candles lit on the altar. Okay, our salvation is not dependent on how well my posture is whenever I stand up there for the Mass. Our salvation is not dependent upon how well y'all sing. Do I hear thanks be to God? Just saying. I like the fact that the Episcopal Church says that these things are very important. Salvation. What's not important are all the other little things. And for that reason, the Episcopal Church considers itself a part of Christianity, a tradition in Christianity. It means that we're no better than the Lutherans down the street or the Presbyterians across the street or the Baptists down there, the Methodists across town, the Roman Catholics, whatever. We all believe that if you're a Trinitarian believing Christian, you're baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, which is what Jesus said to do. That seems important. If you do that, you're a Christian, okay? And the things that separate us, the things that put us in separate buildings on Sunday morning are adiaphora. Adiaphora. It doesn't matter. What's important is that we believe in Jesus Christ. What's important is that we preach that gospel of love and salvation to the world. How we do it, I mean, that's just parsing things out. I've often said, the Lutherans, and went to school in seminary with a lot of Lutherans, and so they like to throw out the salvation by grace through faith, okay? It was a big deal with Martin Luther, salvation by grace through faith. And I often say in the Episcopal Church, we like to equate that to salvation by grace through good taste. We like things decently and in good order. And we think that by showing how well we can do liturgy doesn't make us precious, it makes us people who are very intent on singing that song before God, that trying to do things well is in fact a song of praise to God. I like that we as Episcopalians are willing to make stands on doctrine, but we're not willing to throw people out simply because they believe something slightly off the charts. I think that that's a good sign of unity. It's a start. And I think that's part of what we can preach out into the world. Now, I promised John this morning that this would not be a long sermon. But I told him this is something that I think is very important. It's one of these things that gets me riled up. We have the opportunity, my brothers and sisters, to go out there and preach the good news to the world. And we don't have to do it with fire and brimstone. We don't have to do it with fire and brimstone. We can do it with love and charity, because you can't build faith by fear. You can only build faith through love. That's what we are called to do. We are called to be those people who can set aside differences so that we can look each other in the eye and say, "You are my brother and sister in Christ, and I love you." So I'm going to ask us to do something. Right now, everybody stand up. Everybody find a partner. Buddy up. Okay? Everybody find a partner. Buddy up. I want you to look them in the eye. And I want you to say, "You are my brother or sister in Christ."
You are my brother and sister in Christ.
Now, you can sit down. I know for some of you that was painful, but truly, think about what the world could be like if we could do that for people outside of these walls. Think about what the world could be like. Think about what Christianity could be like. The effect that we could have, not just in Bluefield, but in West Virginia, Virginia, the United States, the world, if we could all come together and sing Kumbaya. I don't know exactly how to describe it, but if we could just somehow learn to love each other the way that we are loved by Jesus Christ, my God, how amazing could the world be if we could just do this. Your homework this week is to keep that in mind. It's to keep that in mind this week whenever you interact with people. When you go out and you go shopping, or maybe you have a family dinner with those people in your family, you know. If you're a Democrat and you're going to dinner with the Republican side of your family, or vice versa, you have to go out with the Jehovah's Witnesses in your family or whatever, but you just look at them and go, that's a precious child of God too. Together we can make the world a better place. If we can do that, we can change the world in truth and in love.